Okay, from verse 4 of Jeremiah 5, the Bible says, "Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. I will go to the great men and speak to them, for I have known the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bond. Therefore, a lion from the forest shall slay them. A wolf of the desert shall destroy them. A leopard will watch over their cities. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many. Their backslidings have increased. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn to those who are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed us by troops in the harlots' houses. They were like well-fed, lusty stallions. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punishment for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation? Because of their transgressions are many, their backslidings have increased." Word backslidings, I want to speak on backsliding today, because the history of Israel is that though they were blessed, chosen, and called of God to inherit a great destiny, that habitually Israel fell away from God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, and I thank you that you do not want one soul in here to turn from you, but you want them to turn to you because you love them, and you want to fill their life with peace. You want to fill their life with joy. You want to touch them as only you can touch their heart. You want to change what they can't change. You want to walk before them and be their God. You want to bring them and open doors for them that man cannot open, because you're a wonderful Father. So, Father, help us turn to you and not from you. In Jesus' name. So Israel habitually backslid, and Jeremiah later writes in the book that the heart of man is desperately wicked. So our hearts, we've got to be aware, our hearts, our human hearts, because we're from the line of Adam and we are born in sin, that our hearts, this is why you can't trust your own heart. You've got to trust God to reveal what's in your own heart. Because sometimes you don't even know your heart, but God wants to give you the desires of your heart. But the human heart has a history of, even though God has saved you, even though God has loved you, even though God has blessed you, God's people, the history with God is they have not constantly been loyal to God. And Israel constantly backslid away from God. And the word backslid, the word repentance means turn to God. So when you realize that God who gave you life and God who gave you Christ and God who loves you so much that he shed his blood son from you, and you've just walked away from your whole life, when you repent, it actually means you stop walking your own way, you stop walking your own way, and you turn back to God in love and obedience to him. That's repentance. But backsliding, the Hebrew word for backsliding means it actually means turn away from. So there is a possibility that someone is saved, blood washed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, prophesying, speaking in tongues, and their heart can grow cold and turn away from God. It's completely possible, and you may be here and think, not me. I want to tell you, every single person here, it's possible that can happen to you. The church at Laodicea was rebuked because they were neither hot nor cold, though they once were. But they'd grown cold because their hearts had backslidden and they had lost their first love. And when someone begins to backslide, you find it's not just evidenced in your outward, sometimes it can be, extreme backsliding is evidence in your moral life, but you can have a backslidden heart that progressively just withdraws itself from its absolute devotion to Christ, from its consecration to prayer, from its condition of first love. And the evidences are you start to become more selfish. You come to becoming increasingly interested in the world's amusements. You lose a passion for prayer, personal and corporate prayer. Even your prayer can become self-focused. Your conscience starts to become seared. Your morality starts to loosen. And Paul was able to say to the Pharisees, the love of God's not in you. When you're extremely backslidden, you lose your love for God, your first love for God. And I was in a church once. Michelle will tell you this. We sat in a church for 18 months, there every Sunday. We first got married. And after 18 months, I got up and I said, I've got to leave this church because I'm completely backslidden. In church every Sunday. But the love, the fire, the passion, the zeal was gone. And increasingly, the love of the world was coming in. And I said, I just knew spiritually I was in a lot of danger. I said, I've got to get out of here. Because every week, we got what we call sugar-coated sermons. Greasy grace. God loves you. All you got to do is enjoy God. And for a season, I sat there and I thought, this is good. I haven't heard about you don't have to carry the cross anymore. You have to deny yourself. This is a new thing. Out of into the Pentecostal experience, I was thinking, this is what it's all about. And after 18 months, I realized that's not what it's all about. That we need to stay close to God. This passage actually says, the very next verse after it speaks about backsliding says, I had fed them to the full. Mostly when you backslide, it's not when you're in a pit or you're crying out to God or you have a problem. Mostly when you backslide is when you've been fed by God's goodness to the full. Israel could handle the wilderness. They were loyal to God in the wilderness. But when they got in the promised land, they quickly developed idols and they quickly became like the nations and they fell away from God because of the prosperity. Prosperity is a great test for somebody. As well as a blessing, it's a great test. Handling the blessings of God is a great test. And God blesses you because he does. All the cattle on the hills is his and he delights in the prosperity of service. You've got to pray for the grace to handle blessing. So, do you know who the ultimate backslider in the scriptures is? You can have a go and you don't fear about embarrassing yourself. You can call out. Who's the ultimate backslider, you think?
David.
Satan, actually, that was a good answer. Satan probably is. David, he had a backslidden season, yeah? Peter fell. You're all close, but no cigar. The ultimate backslider in the scriptures is Jonah. And Jonah was a man who, he's called of God. He knew the presence of God. He was even a preacher for God. He walked with God. He was in the prayer meeting with God. He knew the favor of God. He knew the voice of God. And then God says to Jonah, he says, if you've got a book, you can go to the book of Jonah. He says, go to Nineveh to cry out against the city. He says, go and preach, repent or perish. And you know, Jonah was the best preacher that ever existed because 100% of people he preached to were saved. 100% repented. So this guy was, he was no spiritual lightweight. And yet when God says to him, go to Nineveh, it says that Jonah got on a boat in Joppa and he went to a place called Tarshish. And the word Tarshish, it kind of means it's a mixture of a number of things, but it means worldly and prosperous and blessing. So instead of going where God wanted him to go, he headed for the worldly prosperity. He got tired of walking with God, and he headed for somewhere different, somewhere that was perhaps more, he could be more at ease, and somewhere we could experience the blessings of the world. And he goes and he gets on this boat, and when he gets on this boat, it says he went into the bottom of it and to rest. Everyone else is on top. And he fled from the presence of the Lord. He's trying to get away from God and get into maybe he just wanted to rest from God and get into the pleasures of the world. And it said in verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on that sea. The ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw away the cargo into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone into the lowest parts of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you from? He said, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, you have done this. For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And they said to him, what shall we do to you so the sea may be calm for us? Because the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said, pick me up and throw me into the ocean. The sea will be calm because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous because of them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not perish, make us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with the innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. And we know the rest of the story. That he goes down, swallows him. I just want to make a few points about what happens when we backslide, and what happened with Jonah happens with us. One of the evidence that we're backsliding, we're falling away from God, and our hearts are growing hard toward him, is we cease to have rest. He went down and he started to sleep in the hold of the boat. But I want to tell you, there's a sleep. God says he gives his beloved rest. He gives his beloved sleep. There's a peace that you have when you know you're in communion with God, when you know you're in fellowship with God. The whole world may be raging around you, but when you're right with God, when you're really truly right with God, you sleep well. You sleep well in any storm. But he wasn't sleeping that sort of sleep. He was sleeping, I believe, the sleep of a depressed person. He's just trying to get away from people, and he's down in the hold. Because when you're backslidden, you don't have that peace that transcends understanding. And he's sleeping. And there is two types of storms. And you've got to realize this. There is a storm the devil sends against you. Peter and the disciples were once going with Jesus. And Jesus says, we're going over to bring deliverance. They're going on a mission. This is the purpose of God. And there's a demoniac who's got a tortured mind. He's been afflicted by the devil. He's living in caves and he's cutting himself and he's crying out, but he was crying out to God. And whenever someone really starts to cry out to God in torment, not cry out to themselves, but cry out to God sends somebody to you. So God sent Jesus and the disciples, and they were going on this assignment to bring deliverance to this tormented man. And as they were going over in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, a storm came, and it was so bad the disciples thought they were going to die and said, we're going to perish. Now, that type of storm comes from the devil, because when you're moving into your purpose, the devil doesn't want you to get there. So there are satanic storms, when you come against a satanic storm, all you've got to do is not fear. You'll get through it, because if Jesus is in your boat, he'll steal the storm for you. That's the purpose of that story. So there are satanic storms, but there's also storms that God sends into your life. And if you're backslidden, if you start to backslidden, God will send a storm against you. Why? Because he bought you with a price, he loves you, and he's coming after you. And God sent this storm. This is a storm that God sent. And then everything, oh boy, you don't want to be in a storm that God sends. I've been in one or two in my life, and it's not fun. God sends a storm because he loves you. And when you're in that storm, I want to tell you, you become a dangerous person. You become a dangerous person to be around. My sin is a personal issue. It only affects me. That's never true. That's never true. If you go back to drugs, you go back to alcohol, you go back to drinking, it's going to affect your wife, it's going to affect your children, it's going to affect everybody around you. And Jonah is backslidden, he's in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing, and everybody around him is paying for it. This storm is caused by God, it's about Jonah, but everyone else is suffering. And that's what happens when you backslide. When you live righteously, I want to tell you, the Bible says, the righteous are blameless and their children are blessed. When you live righteously, full on, sold out, pressed up, prayed into God, the blessing, the protection comes over your whole household. All your family, the blessing just starts to leak down. But when you're backslidden, when you're in disobedience, even if it's a subtle disobedience like backsliding, the very opposite happens. And so these men, they cry out to Jonah. And the word of God says that they said, we want to know who's the cause of this trouble. They knew it just wasn't a natural storm. They knew there was a power behind this storm. And then Jonas knows the same thing. He says, in verse 12, he says, I know that this great storm is because of me. So you're all fearful, you're all struggling, you're all anxious, all this tempestuous, all this trouble that's come is because of me. So never ever convince yourself that your sin is a personal issue. Sin is never ever ever a personal issue. It affects everybody. Righteousness brings blessing on everybody. But sin, the devil will say, it's just between you. You can take that drug, you can sniff that thing, you can smoke that thing, you can drink that thing. It's only going to damage you. No, 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 no. It's going to damage your children. It's going to damage everybody. So he's backslidden. God sends a storm. But the storm's because God loves you. The storm is designed to bring you back. And this storm comes upon Jonah and this backslider. Storm won't stop, so they throw him into the sea. They throw him into the sea because nothing's going to stop the storm. And they're all being damaged. You know, David's sin, 70,000 people died because of it. And never, it's never just your issue. But they throw him into the sea. And, you know, I just find it interesting in this passage that, you know, when you're walking right with God, when you're seeking God, when you're reading the Word of God, when you're praying and pressed into God, when you're just living for him, fully devoted, something happens to you. I used to work in a trading room. When I first got on fire for God, I used to work in a trading room in the financial markets. And my countenance changed. I had the light of God in me. I would speak to people, and they just knew. They didn't know all the answers, but they knew there was something different about me because I was a Christian. They just knew it. And every morning I'd bounce in there and I'd speak and I'd quote some of the scriptures when I could. But I just had the life of God in me. And then I backslid. I backslid. And when I went into the world, in those seasons, there was a man on the trading desk. His name was Alan Klenner. And he knew nothing. Nobody knew what I was doing. I lived miles away from anybody. Nobody knew anything of details and all that. But he used to come up to me and say, what has happened to you? And he used to rebuke me. The ones that I used to preach to are now rebuking me. And when you're backslidden, the world starts to rebuke you. These men come to Jonah and they start to rebuke him. They start to say, what are you doing? You're not the God of Jonah. You're the God guy. You're not praying. We're praying. That's what happens when you backslide. The world, these men, they're righteous, but they're worldly. They don't know God. But they're rebuking the one that does know God. You lost your bounce. You lost your bubble. God sends a storm, and even the unrighteous start to rebuke you. They may not understand fully, but they see the change, and they wonder, what has happened to you? Why aren't you praying anymore? And you know, there's a time when Paul, I'm just thinking, there's a time when Paul, he also got into a storm. But Paul was right with God. And Paul was walking with God. And he knew the God of the storm. Like Jesus knew the God of the storm. And he was up and get up and say, my God visited me last night, and I tell you, by the word of God, because God is with me, not one person here will be lost. And not one person was lost, because when you've got off, when you're walking with God, you will declare a thing and God will establish it if your cause is righteous. And Jonah was once in that position, but now he's in a storm and he's got nothing to say, he's got nothing to do, he's got nothing to pray, because when you're backslidden, all your moral authority, all your spiritual authority is gone. It's just gone. And there's a weakness where the anointing once made you mighty and powerful. And so he's in a storm. He's lost everything. Not even praying. They throw him into the sea. And this is the problem. Let me just hear. If there's anyone here that's backslidden today, I want to tell you, God is going to let you go into a pit. God is going to allow you to get into a dark place. That's what he does. When you backslide, God watches you, calls to you, but if you keep moving away from him, if you keep turning from him, Moses went down, and could you imagine this? God, it says that God himself brought the whale. God brought the storm. Then it says the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of a fish 3 days. Now, can you imagine that? What was going on with Jonah? I don't know, but whales dive deep. And his ears, I was thinking about this, that his ears must have been in great pain because the pressure of being in the belly of a whale. And then whales eat fish. And the stink and the stench. And whales have acid and the pain, the acid on his body would have been in there, and seaweed would have been wrapped. I mean, this was like a really dark place that he got into. I want to tell you, if you're backsliding, you're going to get there. I've been there. There is no two ways about it. You're going to get there. It's all part of God's mercy. You're going to get into a very, very dark place. You're going to get into a very, very difficult place. Life will not go well. Because you're God's and he's after you and he's zealous, but you're going to go down and it's going to get dark. And you say, well, aren't you preaching mercy? I'm preaching mercy, but I'm telling you the truth. And God's doing it all. And you know why he does it? Because he wants to bring you to a point. God wants to bring you to a point where you will make a choice. You're going to make a choice. I knew a guy I went to Bible college with. And he was gifted. And he was anointed. God was using him. But he was a bit of a lad. And he had a bit of a past. And he got into a wrong relationship with a woman. And he said, I'll save her. You know, everybody says that. Bible says don't be equally yoked, but everyone who wants to be unequal says, I'll save her. God's going to save her. Now, God can do that sometimes, but very rarely do I see it. But he said, no, God's going to use me to save her. And then a little while later, I saw Al and he was smoking cigarettes, still claiming to walk with God, but he'd lost his ministry. And then a little while later, about 6 months later, I heard that he too was now smoking drugs. This is a guy who was a preacher, who was gifted, who was anointed. And I had a friend who lived very near him. And the Holy Spirit said, God sent him. God spoke to my friend to go to speak to Al. And when he went to speak to him, Al said, I've come too far. I've fallen too far. I've done too many things that are wrong. I've crossed too many lines. And I've failed God completely. And he became desolate. And then after he became desolate, he became despondent. And this woman that he was with, their lives just went down, down, down. And to this day, I believe that he never recovered. But I want to tell you, I've known many, many people who got in that place. And all they did is cry out. You know what God's soft spot is? And it turns everything around. No matter where you are, God has a weakness. And it's called repentance. And Jonah got in that place where he got done the wrong thing. He got away from God. He got out of the plan of God, out of the purpose of God. He'd walked his own way and he got into a terrible mess. But it says when Jonah was in that place, he looked to God again for mercy and he cried out. He acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged his grief and he didn't condemn himself. He didn't stay in that place of despair and he didn't choose that. He chose instead to cry out to God and believe for mercy. And as soon as he cried out to God and believed in that God that he would be mercy, he rejected the despondency. He rejected the self-condemnation. But by faith, he believed God again. God immediately got that whale moving. God immediately got that whale coming up. And that whale was led and he vomited Jonah out onto a beach. And immediately an anointing came back on his life and he moved back into his destiny and God restored him fully. But he had to make that choice. He had to make that choice when he'd blown it to look again. You know, I believe as soon as he turned to God and he said, God, you've called out to me and I've rejected you. You've said to walk this way, but I've walked that way. But at that very moment, though his life was a mess, though he was in such darkness and chaos and everything was wrong and his life was going down, down, down into a darker and darker pit, in that place, I know in the belly of that whale, when his heart fully just turned back to God and said, I've been stupid, God. I did it. I did it. But I'm believing you again for mercy. I want to tell you what happened. They had a revival in the belly of a whale. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit filled the belly of that whale. And Jonah had a song in the belly of a whale. Jonah started to sing that he was back with God. Jonah started to praise God again because he knew that God was back with him. This is how good and merciful our God is. As soon as you truly repent of your backsliding and your cold heart, as soon as you come to God and say, I have lost my first love, and you don't have to get down to where Jonah was to be backslidden. Your life doesn't have to completely fall apart. Your heart just has to be cold towards God. You just have to have lost interest in the lost. You just have to be slowly slipping further and further away from God. And you may not yet be in your storm, but it's coming. You may not yet be in the belly of a whale, but it's coming because righteousness is progressive, and so is sin, and so is lukewarmness. But God said, you know, there's only one solution. He says this in chapter 3, verse 20, surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel. A voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplication to the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, they have forgotten the Lord their God. Have you forgotten God? Have you forgotten his love? Have you forgotten to seek his place? Have you forgotten his word? Maybe that's why things aren't going well. This is what God says to people today. He says, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. As soon as we turn back to God, if our heart's grown cold to God, he is so good. You know, you may even say, I don't even know why it's gone cold. I don't even know why I've gone off the boil. I don't even know why I've got the fire. But I just trust you to solve the whole thing. I just want to be back in that place where I live and die for Christ. You know, this is where God wants you in a place. I can say this. I was with a man down in Panama. He had a lot of things. And just out of my mouth, I said to him, you got a lot of things, but I got a lot of God. And I don't know why I said it. But if you got a lot of God, you're the happiest person in the world. I was trying to say all those things that don't make you happy. I've had them, but I got a lot of God. And God wants you in a place where I can honestly say, every day I feel like I'm the most blessed, happiest man alive because I'm on fire with God. I'm pressed into God. I know my God. I hear from my God. I know I'm loved by my God. I know God is with me. I know God will never forsake me. I know all the richest things are in God, and I know my God withholds no good thing from me. I know there are blessings coming into my life. I know I will lack no good thing because of my God, and God wants you in that place. But I've been in that place and I've come out of that place. And if you come out of that place, there's only one place where you are. You're backslidden. Even if you're in church every Sunday. And I believe God is just saying, if you're in that place, God wants you back in the place of first love. He wants the fire back. He wants the zeal back. Nothing feigned. He wants you walking in a love affair with him where you know his love and you love him and it's real and it's vital. And there's only one thing you need to do. You need to say, where I have turned to worldly pleasures, where I have turned to satisfaction from other things, where I've lost my total sold-out consecration for you, where I've ceased to become that living sacrifice for you, where I've come out of that sold-out first love position, help me. I'm turning back to you today, and I want you to do the work. I want you to bring me back into that state where I say to live is Christ and to die is gain, that Jesus is my all. He is the love of my life. He is the reason I exist. He is my portion. And I just know God wants to touch some hearts today. He wants to touch some hearts that have just lost that zeal, grown cold, lost that first love. Good timing, worship team. So just bow your heads because I know the Holy Spirit will do it. And even if you want to respond to God, because the word says, return to me. Sometimes in a service like this, I just know, and it's not about altar calls, it's not about what other people think, but I know the Holy Spirit wants me to do something as a demonstration that I'm coming back to God. And I've had to make altar calls, I've had to make that walk sometimes where I've come down the front to say to God, I'm responding to this message today. I'm responding because I want you to do what only you can do in my heart. I want you to touch me afresh. If that's you, you come. But if not, you just want to, you feel you could just do business with God, that you just do business with God, because God wants a church which is passionate, which is on fire, who says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, who knows their God, who loves their God, whose purpose for living is their God. And you can say the things of the world are just dross. Yes, the blessings are good, but they don't mean anything because all my life is in you. Father, I lift up every heart here today.